Thank you, Mrs. Garner. Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And I shall ask that you begin to read with me in verse number 11, and we'll read through verse 24. Those of you that know anything about the Word of God know this passage deals with the prodigal son as Jesus told that story. I suppose that I have more sermons on this passage of Scripture than any other single passage other than the subject of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Having found your place, Luke chapter 15, would you stand please, and we shall begin to read in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his son's neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. I love this passage right here. Father didn't even wait for him to finish his prepared speech. Verse 22 starts with the word but. But the father interrupted his speech and said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I want you to go back and look at verse number 13, and we'll use a phrase there for the basis of our message this morning. The Bible says, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, there wasted his substance with riotous living. I want you to notice that statement, a far country. I want to preach to you today on the hopelessness of the far country. The hopelessness of the far country. Heavenly Father, I need your help today as I bring this message. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a help to those that are struggling in their walk with God. I want to see those, Heavenly Father, that don't know you as Savior to come to that place today where they accept you as their Savior and know the wonderful forgiveness of sin and have that gift of life everlasting in Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, would you do your work in this service? Would you walk up and down these aisles and stop by every pew and every person? And would you deal with our hearts how you know they need to be dealt with? May you point out today, Heavenly Father, those deficiencies in our Christian life. Heavenly Father, would you put your finger on those things that are hindering us from having that best relationship with you, or even a closer relationship with you? And Father, if there be someone here that's backslidden today, someone who has taken the journey of the prodigal, whether it be young man or young lady, whether it be an old man or an older lady, would you speak to their heart and bring them to themselves that they might decide they're coming home to the Father. They're going to do whatever's necessary to get right and be right. And then, Heavenly Father, if there's a person here today that's unsaved, would you speak to their heart? Would you convict them of their lost condition? And would you save that man and that woman listening to my voice today that's unsaved, that does not have the sweet assurance that Jesus is their Savior? Now, Lord, I need you. Fill me with thy Spirit. Let me be your instrument, your voice, that I might proclaim your word the way you want it preached. And we'll thank you for the privilege in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, we have read this very familiar story as told by the Lord Jesus about a young man who left his father's home and his father's authority and his father's blessing and took his journey to the far country. The far country, as spoken of here, is not necessarily a geographical location. It may be in your own city or even in your own home. The far country is the place of rebellion against the Father's will. The far country is the place where a person gets away from the Father's authority and watch care over his life. The far country is the place where a Christian retreats to, into the world, and into sin, and into backsliding. The far country is a place of hopelessness, where your dreams are rooted in carnality and lust, and things never turn out as you dream them. The far country is a place where the Christian will never find peace. He'll never find happiness. He'll never find contentment. And he'll miss the highest purpose for his life. Every Christian at one time or another is tempted to take the journey of the prodigal into that far country. We need to be acquainted with the things one will always find when he journeys to that place in the Christian life known as the far country. May I say today in the first place that the far country is always a place of waste. Verse 13 says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." It's always a place of waste. It's not a place of prosperity and contentment. I'm talking about Christians. If you're a Christian today and you're out of the will of God, you're living in a time of waste. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. And you're wasting your substance. Many are not as fortunate as the prodigal mentioned in Scripture. He came to himself and returned home to the Father with a repentant heart and a repentant spirit. I'm sad to tell you that many do not make that journey. They die in their prodigal state, never getting right about their sin. Others waste the best years of their life living for the devil, when they ought to be living for the Savior. The best they can do is when they finally come to themselves, if they come to themselves, is come back with all of the scar and the leftovers of a wasted life. I'm here to tell you this morning that the one who loved us and died for us on that old rugged cross deserves more than the leftovers of our life. He deserves the best we have to give him. He does not want them as payment for what he's done for us. But he deserves us to love him enough and thank him enough to give him our best in appreciation for his love for us. We have only one life to live here. Time is too short to waste a day of it. Time can never be regained. Lost time is lost forever. I cannot tell you how many people I deal with that say to me, "I wish I could relive that part of my life. I wish I'd not wasted so many years. I wish I had something else to give for the Lord." But as prodigals, they took their journey into the far country and wasted their life, wasted their time, wasted their families, wasted their substance. And now then, they have nothing but leftovers. Nothing except what the devil left them with. And the devil never leaves us with much. Our life, our time, and our substance are to be used for the glory of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One never comes out of the far country with profit and gain. Loss, bankruptcy, destroyed homes, broken marriages, wasted children clutter the highways of the prodigal children, the prodigal men and women and boys and girls. I want you to know the far country is a place of waste. When you're out of the will of God, don't expect to be prospered by God. When you're out of the will of God, don't expect to be blessed by God. When you're out of the will of God, don't expect to be under the protection of God. When you take your journey of the prodigal, you're on your own. You're away from God. You're away from blessing. You're away from protection. You're away from hope and away from help. I'm here to tell you, the far country is a place of waste. As I look out over this congregation, some of you are living there today. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your family. You're wasting your marriage. And if you live there long enough, you'll lose your children to the world as well. The far country is a place of waste. May I say also, the far country always becomes a place of famine and want. Look in verse number 14. And when he had spent all, it didn't say when he had made his million. It said when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land and he began to be in want. The far country is a place of famine and want. It's void of God's blessings. It's void of God's peace. In the far country, a Christian cannot lay his head down at night and have peace on his heart and peace in his mind. It's void of blessing and peace. There's no satisfaction or contentment in the far country. All the far country offers is temporary pleasure, the pleasure of sin for a season. There's no satisfaction and contentment in the far country. None whatsoever. You may think you know better. You may think you can do better. But you do it and then show me. And I'll show you your life of waste and your life of famine and your life of want. It's never those living in the will of God coming and asking for help. It's always those who have taken their journey away from God. It's never those living in the will of God that come to me with no contentment and no peace. See, there's no contentment, no peace, no satisfaction, no fulfillment in the far country. Instead of being surrounded by people who loved him and cared about him, the people of the far country used him until he was used up. They were only interested in getting pleasure out of him and profit from him at his expense. But he lost it all. The far country will soon become a place of hunger and loneliness. Look at verse number 16. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Where's all those friends now? Where's all the help from the world? Guess where the people go to that's in the far country, and they've lost everything and they need help. They don't go to the bar. They don't go to the honky-tonk and ask them for help. They end up coming to a church, looking up somebody that knows God and that's living for God. There's hunger and loneliness in the far country. Where's his friends so-called now? They weren't his friends. They were leeches. They were parasites. They were holding on to him as long as he had something he could give them. As long as they could benefit and profit from him. But he spent all. And he found himself hungry and alone. You know, one of the basic promises of God for a child of God in the will of God is that he'll supply all of our needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about clothes to wear, a place to live, food to eat, and then he makes that promise. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." That's not the promise of God to a prodigal. The prodigal lives his life in a time of hunger and loneliness. Where are those to comfort him? Where are those to help him? They weren't there. Those who journeyed to the far country experienced a life of shame and regret. Look at verse 15. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And you say, where's the shame and the regret in that? I believe he's talking about a Jewish boy. I believe he's talking about a boy in the family, in a family there in Israel. Now, a Jew wouldn't raise pigs. They were shepherds. They raised cattle or sheep. They didn't want anything to do with the pig. They didn't eat pork. They didn't want to raise pork. They didn't want to be around pork. The only job he had, the only job he could get, was feeding hogs. And the only food, they said, we'll give you a job feeding the hogs and you can eat what they eat. Boy, this is good, isn't it? Far country really does take good care of its people. Can't you imagine that young man took the old slop bucket, the hog food in it, and went out and dumped it in the hog troughs and pushed over a little part of that trough for himself and got down on his knees and started to eat? Don't you imagine he stuck out his chest and bragged about, boy, it's great being away from daddy. All those rules. Having to go to church. Say blessings. No, I imagine that old boy, as he looked at what the hogs ate and was about to eat it himself, he said, man, I'm ashamed. I was a fool. I was better off when I was at home. I was better off under the Father's care. He had wasted everything. And now then, in the far country, he's about to eat what the hogs ate. His work in the far country was feeding hogs. He was eating what they left. And while he was weak, and while he was hungry, and while he stunk like the hog pen and lonely, guess what he remembered? Look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now here was not a servant, but a son. And he lived in the father's house. He slept in the big house. He had his room. He had his own bed. Had his own clothes. He ate at the father's table. Everything the father had was his. And foolishly, he chose to leave it, to take his inheritance and strike out on his own in an opposite lifestyle than his father lived. And there he wasted everything, ended up penniless, about to eat what the hogs ate. He was weak, hungry, stinking, lonely, didn't look like a father's son. Looked like a bum, smelt like pigs. And he realized, what a fool. I would be better off as a slave, a servant in my daddy's house than I am out here on my own. The far country had left him an emotional wreck. He was out of his mind, unbalanced emotionally. It had left him a physical wreck and it left him a spiritual wreck. And when he came to himself, he remembered what he used to have and what he could have until he gave it up to become a prodigal. And it says he came to himself and said, I'm going home. I'm going to ask my father to just make me a servant. Just make me a servant. Boy, when he came to thinking like that, he started on the return from the prodigal's journey. He started on the road to forgiveness. He started on the road to repentance. That brings me to the second point in the message. He discovered a remedy could not be found for the prodigal's condition in the far country. The remedy could not be found out there in his life of sin. There was no remedy with a prodigal's heart and a prodigal spirit. He had to come to himself and say, I've got to go back to my father. That's where the prodigal journey began. That's where the wrong spirit began. And that's where I've got to get right. I've got to stand before him and tell him, I've sinned against you, Father. And I've sinned against God, and I'm not worthy to be your son. Oh, if you're the prodigal today, or if you're a sinner lost in sin, you better understand there is no remedy in the far country. The hope is in the Father's house. The hope is at the feet of the Father. The hope is in Jesus Christ. While in the far country, no man gave to him. No man cared about his life or his soul. Getting a job or earning money could not ease the pain and the suffering he was going through in his mind and in his body and in his soul. Nothing he did in the far country delivered him from his wrong relationship with his Father. May I say it's true with our relationship to our Heavenly Father. Nothing we do in sin, nothing we do with a rebellious heart can make us right as long as we're living in sin in the far country. We've got to confess that sin and return to the Father. Nothing he did in the far country delivered him from his wrong relationship. He could not get help until he saw his sin, until he admitted his need and returned to the Father with a repentant heart and a repentant spirit. He did not have a meeting to negotiate terms for his return. He knew what the problem was, and he knew what he needed to do. And he went to the Father. And you know, the truth is, this lad was so conscious of his sin and his rebellion and his foolishness that he was willing to do more than the Father even required him to do. He said, I'm willing to become a servant in my Father's house. But the Father wasn't going to require him to become a servant. All the Father wanted to hear him say was, I've sinned. And I'm not worthy to be your son. When he said that, the Father stepped in and intervened and received him back as a son. And I'm here to tell you, my dear friend, the prodigal received help and forgiveness only after he returned to the Father with a spirit of guilt and confession of sin. Then he received help. The first step in getting right with God as a prodigal is admitting your sin. Acknowledging and admitting your sin. And the first step for a sinner to get saved is acknowledging that you're a sinner and that you're lost. Until you take that first step, you can never take step number two or step number three, and you'll never enjoy forgiveness. Until you come the way of back to the Father's house. You see, it was at the Father's house where he went wrong. He didn't become a prodigal after he'd got out there in the honky-tonks and the harlots' houses. He was a prodigal while he was still home because he had a rebellious spirit against the Father. Had a rebellious spirit. He went wrong at the Father's house. He went wrong when he was unthankful for what he had. He went wrong when greed and lust began to grow in him. He went wrong when rebellion first raised its ugly head in his life. Sin and rebellion had filled him with self. And with greed. He gave no thought to how his actions hurt those who loved him most as a prodigal. But now then, as a prodigal getting right, he realized he's got to go back to the Father against whom he had sinned. He's got to have his forgiveness. You know, some of you think that in order to get right, all you need to do is just come back to church. You need to deal with the sin. You need to admit you're a sinner. You need to admit the wrong, that which got you away from God to begin with. You can't just overlook it and hope it'll get right. Sin must be dealt with. It must be forgiven, and it'll not be dealt with and forgiven until we admit it and confess it to the Father. While I was reading this just now, a thought occurred to me. When he came back to the Father, he had nothing except the Father's love and the Father's grace to come back to. The Father had already given him his inheritance, and he had wasted it. And now then he'd live in his Father's house, and everything he had was on the merit of grace and love from the Father. And is that not a picture of us? Oh my soul, we wasted our life, we wasted what God had given us. Adam messed it all up while he had something there in the garden, and we are born with a sin nature, and then we choose to sin and we become sinners and our life is messed up. There's nothing, nothing the Father has that's ours. And as lost sinners, we come to him. And strictly on the basis of his mercy and grace, he gives us forgiveness and gives us a home in heaven and a relationship with Father, and makes us an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus after we had wasted it all. Oh, the grace and the love of the Savior. What wonder, what marvel. He was spiritually and emotionally out of his mind. His thinking was not normal. His actions were not normal. I have parents all the time saying, I don't know what's wrong with my son or my daughter. They just don't act like they should or they ought to. They're a prodigal. They've taken the journey of the prodigal. They may not have left home yet, but it'll come. It'll come. This prodigal had forgotten, because of his selfish love for himself, he'd forgotten the love and sacrifice of a mother and a father. He was no longer thinking as a son. He was thinking as a sinner. And the result in his life was heartache, waste, loneliness, tears, hunger, and worthlessness. When he came back to the Father, he had rags and the smell of sin. Had no shoes, no ring, no cloak. The world had stolen it all and taken it all. And he comes back to the Father, a stinking, worthless, helpless, hopeless sinner. And he said to the Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against God, and I'm not worthy to be thy son. And before he could even say, make me as a hired servant, the Father stepped in and said, that's enough. You've confessed your sin. You've acknowledged your sin. You've come back to the Father. Bring a ring and put it on his finger, and shoes on his feet, and a robe on his back. Let's kill the fatted calf and be happy, be merry. This my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. He had none of that until he came back to the Father. There are those here today, though you're in church this morning, you're living the life of a prodigal. You're coming to church every now and then hoping things will get better, but you're still living in the hog pen of the world. Some of you think that you can get the help you need without returning all the way to the Father's favor and the Father's will or the Father's house. in your mind. You'll only get right if you can get right on your terms. I must tell you that you'll never get right with God, because God will not compromise His principles or His word for anyone. However, that same God loves you. And if you'll come acknowledging your sin, if you'll come confessing your wrong, if you'll come and ask Him to forgive you, He'll throw His arms out to you and receive you and forgive you and return you to that place as a son. If you'll come, if you'll confess, if you'll acknowledge, for you to enjoy the Father's forgiveness and the Father's favor, you must come to Him like the prodigal, willing to do whatever He required to get right with Him. The truth is, He does not put us on probation. He does not wait to see if we're sincere. If we come with a sincere heart, confessing our sin, seeking His forgiveness, He'll come to meet us. He'll come to receive us. He'll come to restore us. But we must come on His terms. We can't ignore sin. We can't face Him with a lie and expect to be forgiven. We've got to come with an honest assessment of our condition and an honest confession of our sin. And when we do, like He promised, He'll be faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all iniquity. Don't you understand God wants to forgive you more than you want His forgiveness today? If you'll just come honestly, if you'll come home like the prodigal came back to the Father, God will receive you today. And if you're here today and you're a lost sinner, you've never been born again, if you'll just honestly come to Him and confess to Him that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved and that you'd like to be saved, He said, all who come unto Me, I'll not cast one out. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's waiting for you. He's just waiting for you to get right in here and come back to the Father. He didn't say, hey, this young man didn't say, well, I'm going to wait until I clean up and get everything back to where it was when I left home. No, sir, out of the hog pen. Shoeless, robeless, ringless, worthless. He came back to the Father, acknowledged his sin, and the Father fell on his neck and kissed him and forgave him and brought him back in as a son. He's done that for me. He's done that for me. And if many of you'd be honest, He's already done that for you on occasions. And some of you, He's waiting for you to come home now. Some of you who are unsaved, He's waiting for you to come to Him and trust Him as your Savior. He'll save you. But you can't negotiate terms. You can't come on your terms. You come His way. You come all the way back. This young man didn't say, well, I'm going to get about 20 miles from home and I'll send you a message and you can come meet me halfway. He had to come all the way back to the Father's house. And so do we. Father, that's our message today. Oh, I love this story because I can associate it with my life and how that You received me, such an unworthy